Hi Krishna, I'm here back in Toronto. I'll post the last version of pictures from our third day of visit in Montreal. That was when I went back to see McGill University, which was an engineering building where I spent 6 years, was strikingly similar to what it was, although inside it was renovated. I took, you'll see a few pictures of a little wooded area. The campus, by the way, is the way it was, very beautiful. Small wooded area with a couple sitting there. That's where I remember seeing devotees singing, sitting and chanting on more than one occasion, because the temple was just about 5-6 blocks away. There's also pictures that you see of quite a sort of rundown three-story building. And to the left, there's a Pines Tavern. To the right now is something else. It used to be Pines Pizza. And the top of that, on the top floor, was a bowling alley. And it was in that bowling alley that we had the first Hare Krishna temple in Montreal. That was on Pines and Park Avenue. I used to know the place from even prior to my devotee days, when as a university student we used to go there and have pizza. And above that was a bowling alley, and the devotees have converted that. I didn't go inside, but I took pictures outside, as well as of different houses. Some of the houses you see are different places that I lived on in as a student in McGill. And one which has a somewhat elevated or stairs to go up to an elevated entrance, that's on Hutchison. And this is Hutchison on the corner of Sherbrooke, and to the best of my knowledge, Srila Prabhupada was living at the same time 3 blocks up on Hutchison. Unfortunately, we never really got to meet. So that's what basically those places are all about. And right now I'm going to answer a question here from Shilpa Kairini, who's asking, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the killing of Putana, there are a few shlokas describing how gopis were chanting mantras to protect Krishna, and how they used cow urine and dung in the purport to 6th chapter, 22-23rd verse. Prabhupada wrote that people should learn this process because it's part of Vedic civilization. So can we also chant these mantras to protect our children? Don't chant other mantras other than the mantras Prabhupada gave us. That is the Vedic process as given to us by Srila Prabhupada. But we should learn that, and we should do that. In other words, we should learn the Vedic process, which means that one always depends on Krishna in all circumstances, and we don't depend on anyone else or anything else. And we invoke Krishna and Krishna's grace by chanting Hare Krishna, or Srila Prabhupada specifically also gave us Namaste Narasimhaya mantra as prayer for protection. And as far as cow urine and cow dung for purification, invoking auspiciousness, yes, of course, that can be done. As other Vedic traditions that we should learn and learn how to pick up, but we should learn how to pick them up in the way that Srila Prabhupada taught us, and unless Srila Prabhupada gave us specific mantras to chant or specific rituals to perform, then we should prefer and begin by cultivating the rituals and mantras that Srila Prabhupada personally gave us and did himself. So, for instance, the concept of kavacha is there. There are, very often you'll see in India, thread around the, tied around the waist of a child. That thread is an empowered thread, which is meant to be empowered by mantras for protection. So it's as if the mantra is being chanted while they're wearing that. Of course, mantras other than Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Pancha Triki mantras authorized by Acharyas will not have any power, because Vedic mantras require pure Brahmins to chant them. And therefore, even though people may chant these things, they end up being superstition, because the real potency of the mantra is not there. So we should keep in mind that the power of mantra is not solely in the word of the mantra, but it's in the disciplic succession through whom we also receive it. So when Prabhupada said we should learn the Vedic process, we should learn the Vedic process as it works in our day and age. And then I have another question here from Jatender, and he says, I want some information regarding membership of ISKCON for middle class people. Mostly rich people are associated with your organization and temples. Wow, what part of ISKCON does he go to? Who give solid donations and get credit for seva. However, there's no respect for general public, as I have seen in Tirupati Balaji temple. But middle class people like myself also like to do seva, but that service is not necessarily respected. I don't quite get the gist here. But Tirupati Balaji temple, whether the emphasis is that there is no respect given there, or that that is where they give respect. It's certainly true that wealthy people who end up spending very little time when they visit a temple will get more attention than the average person who does spend more time and who may not be particularly a large donor. And that's not particularly because the others are not being appreciated, but generally you'll find that if you're so fortunate as to have wealthy patrons, they very rarely come. And until they become very Krishna conscious, generally they expect more than average treatment. And if you want to cultivate any of them, you will have to do that. About the beginning of this question, that ISKCON is mostly for rich people, I really doubt that mostly rich people attend ISKCON, and that it neglects the middle class, at least the parts of ISKCON where I'm in. Certainly average class of people are there. Sometimes there's some well-off people, very few wealthy people who are regular patrons, and everyone's service is appreciated according to the level of seva or service that certainly they would like to do. And in Hungary now, we're also initiating the whole patron system in order to be able to more systematically engage all kinds of people, whether they're rich, poor, middle class, or whatever else lies in between, in Krishna's service. ISKCON is not meant for wealthy people, it's not meant for middle class people, it's meant for anyone. It's meant for anyone who's willing to chant Hare Krishna, for anyone who wants to engage in Krishna's service. And even though sometimes some wealthy people may be given some special attention just because of their potential donorship, but others who aren't necessarily, for instance, given that kind of VIP treatment should not consider themselves being discriminated against, but they should also see that it's their temple and that we're trying to cultivate someone to do a level of service that will facilitate everyone else's service. For instance, a new temple, a temple extension, or a prasada room, or so many other things that others will then be able to benefit from. So if such kind of preferential treatment is being given to someone, then it's not being done to discriminate against some people, but it's being done in order to facilitate everyone, because ultimately the middle class, the lower class, everyone will be able to benefit from whatever service that moneyed people may be able to offer. And hopefully in the future more wealthy people will become devotees of Krishna and appreciate the need to spread Krishna consciousness, because that is how religions have historically been spread, by government patronage and by the patronage of the wealthy. That's how temples are built, that's how all types of facilities have been developed. And then once these wealthy people, they become devotees, and they learn that they're just Trinadapisunichina, ordinary living entities like everybody else, then they don't need that VIP treatment anymore. And that's also our experience. So I hope that answers Jitendra's question, and continue on tomorrow. Hare Krishna.